speaking on this Way of Truth broadcast is Ken Willis. Thank you. The Bible begins, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1, verse 27. Dr. Arthur Compton, Nobel Prize winner in physics, once called the opening statement of the Bible, in his words, "the most majestic statement ever uttered." Truly it is, for the Bible begins in the beginning. Just when in the beginning was, no one knows. But it is comforting to believe that whenever it was, God was already there. Adam Clark, the noted commentator, gave this definition of God in his Volume 1, page 27 of his great commentary series, and I quote, "The eternal, independent, self-existing being, the being whose purposes and actions spring from himself, without foreign motive or influence, he who is absolute in dominion, the most pure, the most simple, the most spiritual of all essences, infinitely benevolent, beneficent, true, holy, the cause of all being, the upholder of all things, infinitely happy because infinitely perfect, eternally self-sufficient, needing nothing that He has made, illimitable in His immensity, inconceivable in His mode of existence, indescribable in His essence, known fully only to Himself, because an infinite mind can be fully apprehended only by itself. In a word, a being who from His infinite wisdom cannot err or be deceived, who from His infinite goodness can do nothing but what is eternally just, right, kind. Such is the God of the Bible." End of quote. The Bible view is that God is an eternal being who is omnipotent, that is, all-powerful. He is a being that is omniscient, that is, all-knowing. He is a being that is omnipresent, that is, present everywhere. That He is holy, just, merciful, loving, and not only the first cause, but the being who maintains and supervises the universe. This is the biblical doctrine of God revealed by bringing together all the passages that reveal God in the Bible. And while it is not possible for mortal man to comprehend God fully, it is possible through the reading of the Word to make a beginning. The Bible is a book from God, a book about God, a book that contains God's will for men. And so today we're talking about the doctrine of God, what we can know about God and how much we should appreciate and be willing to serve this omnipotent One. Now, in some areas, the very existence of God has been questioned. Sigmund Freud, in his book The Future of an Illusion, argued that God is the creation of man rather than man being the creation of God. Freud believed that the idea of God is merely the projection of man's wish, kind of an auto-suggestion. And because man feels weak, he feels dependent, he feels afraid and alone, well then he imagines up a protective father, and Freud says God is a creation of man. But actually this is just the reverse of what is true. Instead of man wanting to create a non-existent God, man actually wants to run away from God, the God who really is. Man would like to eliminate God and eliminate God's claims upon him, claims of morality, claims of ethical behavior, claims which cost man some of his time and money and effort. You see, Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. Jonah tried to run away from God. And modern 20th century and 21st century man still tries to run away from God, or at least ignore God, and fail to acknowledge their need of dependency upon God. They want to feel their independence, their self-sufficiency, their pride. It was back in the Middle Ages that Thomas Aquinas pictured God as revealing himself to man in a twofold manner. He likened it to a two-story house. He said the bottom floor is nature, which testifies to the existence of a creator. One can hardly study the world about him, whether it be through a telescope or a microscope or just with his own 20/20 vision. He looks at the world around him, and he can't do it without finding overpowering evidence that a divine creative mind conceived the universe and then brought it into being. Then Aquinas said the second floor of this house is God's revelation of himself that's found in the written word, the Bible. And it is to this source that we turn because as magnificent as nature is in revealing the existence of God, it's only in the Bible that tells us who God is, describes Him, and that leads us to more fully to appreciate Him. Now, we noted that the Bible begins with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As we continue to read, we learn that God is a covenant God. At the end of the patriarchal period, God gave man the world's first written code of laws. It's found in Exodus 20. I only read the first three verses. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And just here I would interrupt by saying that many theologians have had the idea down through the years that man's concept of God was entirely polytheistic, that man had an idea of many gods. But more and more the thinking is now that man had a concept of God that was monotheistic, that there was one God. Well, in Exodus 19, verse 5, we find the clear statement that God is a covenant God. For verse 5 reads, Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be mine own possession from among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In all dispensations, God has given man directions on how he must live. If a man keeps covenant with God, then man is blessed. If he does not keep covenant with God, he suffers the consequences. We read about the greatness of God in the book of Job. In Job 38, verse 1 through 7, we find a sharp contrast between the power of God and the power of man. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who determined the measure thereof? Or thou knowest? Who stretched the line upon the earth? Whereupon were the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That Job 38, 1 through 7. Job 38, verse 12. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days began and caused the day spring to know its place? Dropping down to verse 16. Hast thou entered into the spring of the sea? Hast thou walked in the recesses of the deep? Verse 19. Where is the way to the dwelling place of light? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? Verse 22. Hast thou entered the treasures of the snow? Hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Canst thou bind the cluster of the Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou lead forth the Maseroth in their seasons? Or canst thou guide the bear with her train? Knowest thou the ordinances of the heavens? Canst thou establish a dominion thereof in the earth? And then a little later, in view of these inabilities of man, Job replied in Job 42, I know that thou canst do all things, that no purpose of thine can be restrained. Verse 5 and 6, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Here a great description of the majesty and the omnipotence of God. Well, concerning that first book of nature, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Psalms 19, 1 through 3. A little later in the 19th Psalm, he speaks about the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the ordinances of the Lord. All of this evidence of the greatness of God. And Moses, who's thought to be the writer of the 90th Psalm, said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting unto everlasting, thou art God. But friends, it's not enough simply to know of God, or even enough to believe in God. It's only enough when we obey God. And may each of us believe in Him and believe in His Son Jesus and make a confession of faith that Jesus is the Son of God. May we repent of past sins and then, confessing the name of Christ, be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then may we live a lifetime of service, service to God and service to fellow man. Have you done that? Until the next time I come your way, I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon. Your speaker has been Ken Willis.